Now, a cow and a dog can't have any relationship with God or any union with God. They have a brain just like you and I. And a cow's brain is just as good as a human brain. Did you know that? The modern science that the universities are discovering of brain research has shown us that human brain is no better than animal brain. And they search in vain to find where is that difference, something in a human brain that they can't find in an animal brain. Why do we have these different attitudes and different senses of things like art, music, and literature that animals can't have? What's the difference? They look and they can't see anything different. No, you can't see it because you can't see spirit. But it's the spirit in man that makes all that difference. It's the spirit of man that can be united with God, who is a spirit, and God's spirit can come like essence into us and unite with our spirit. And you read in the 8th chapter of Romans in the New Testament that his spirit witnesses with our spirit, once his spirit comes to us, witnesses with our spirit that we are the sons of God. And people see that we're to be begotten first and then later born as sons of God. Now, if I say that my son was born of me and is my son, he's human like I am, a lot of people can't believe that, huh? Oh, yes, they do. They can believe that, all right. But when you say you're a son of God, they think, well, you're just something God made. No, he means literally we become sons of God. But we are not yet. At this time, when the Bible reveals, we're only begotten, not yet born. A fetus in the mother's womb is not a born human yet. It's only a begotten human. It's not yet born. So the spirit of man can unite us with God. And we were made to have a contact with, a union with God. But the world has cut itself off from God. Now, who and what is God? The world doesn't understand. Is God one person, just one great person? They speak of God as him, or he, one person. But Roman Catholics and most Protestants say that God is a Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Judaism rejects the Trinity and says that there never was a Son, that Jesus was a bastard, not the Son of God. They don't understand their own Hebrew scriptures. But children are born, and they've got to believe what it says. I could show them. The Bible says, the very Bible that you have says this. Well, I can't believe that. You see, I've been taught something else. What are you going to believe? What you've been taught by people that are ignorant? Or believe what God says in plain language? Do you know why we can be a light to the world? Do you know why light has come and I can give you light? If I'm a light to the world, why? Because I believe God. This is God speaking in the Bible, and I believe it. People say, well, I believe in God. Yeah, but that's something different. Believing in God is something altogether different. There were a lot of Jews that believed in Christ, and Jesus turned to them and said, you are the children of your father, the devil, because they didn't believe him. They didn't believe God. They only believed on him. They believed that he exists, and that's all, that there was such a being. That's easy. But to believe him is to believe what he says. And that's what people won't do, is to believe what he says. Now, what is God? God is supreme mind, and God is supreme spiritual, perfect character. And what is character? Character is of an individual entity or being who has a mind and has been able with the mind to come to see light from darkness or truth from error, and to see what is right in the right way and who has willed to go that way and to actually put it to action and do it and to do the right, even if he wants to do the wrong. Did you ever see something that you sort of knew was wrong, but yet you wanted to do it? Oh, I have, and so have you. Be honest. You've seen things that you knew you shouldn't do. The other night after dinner, there were some chocolates put on the table at the end of the dinner, about the time the coffee came or after, in a restaurant. Now, I knew I shouldn't take it, chocolate, but someone else said, I said, oh, I think I won't do it. And someone else said, well, I'm going to take one. And then I said, well, I guess I will too. I didn't do that willfully, but I certainly did it willingly. I yielded to it. How many times have you yielded to do something you sort of knew you shouldn't do it? But perfect, supreme character is the ability to enforce yourself to do what your mind sees and you know and has been proved is right. And to resist the wrong, no matter how hard it is. And it gets down to doing and not just thinking or believing. It's not wishy-washy, it's doing. Now, God is supreme mind and God is supreme perfect character. That's what God is. Now, we find in Genesis 1:1, God is called Elohim. E-L-L in Hebrew is God, but Elohim, the I am, Eloah is God, but Elohim means more than one. And that's described in the New Testament in John 1, verses 1 to 4. Now, in the New Testament, many so-called scholars say that the book of John should have been put first in the New Testament. Now, by that, they don't mean it was written first. It might have been written last. But in time order, that it should be at the first, and that would be the very first word then, if it were put first. The first word in the New Testament would start out the same as the first word in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, it starts out, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the New Testament, then, it would begin, in the beginning, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Now, who was the Word? What do you mean, Word? Well, Word is just simply spokesman. But the 14th verse of the same chapter explains it. You have to turn somewhere else to have it explain what it means. Right there in the same chapter, it says in verse 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, became Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was the Word, and he became finally born of the Virgin Mary, just as Isaiah prophesied, but the rabbis won't believe that. Their Bible says so in plain language. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son. But they won't believe it. The child is born unto us, and he will grow up. The government will be on his shoulder. But he was to be born as a child, but they're blind. They refuse, bitterly refuse, to believe what their own Bible says and what Moses taught them. It's time that the whole world wakes up. Jews are wrong, Christians are wrong, Catholics are wrong, Buddhists are wrong. The whole world has gone wrong, and the world is in darkness, and the world is suffering, and the world is in trouble. And there's a reason, there's a cause for all of that. I'm trying to bring light to the world. So the Word was the one who later was made into a human baby who grew up and became Jesus Christ. And the Word was with God. Now the Word was a personage. And God is a personage. Now you've got two personages there. And then it says, all things were made by the Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. And the next verse says, in him was life, and in God was life. Now they lived. And if there was life in them, they had to live. And if they lived, they had to be thinking, doing something, because they had supreme mind. How did they live? What did they do in living? So, now you go back to Genesis in the beginning, Elohim. More than one said, let us make man in our image. Why, the us was God and the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And they said to Jesus Christ while he was on earth, they said, well, show us God the Father. What is God the Father like? Jesus said, well, have you seen me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. In other words, he looked just like Jesus. And what did Jesus look like any other Jew of his day? And God said in Genesis, let us make man in our image after our likeness. In other words, look the same form and shape. And humans look the same form and shape as God. If you could see God, you'd see someone in the same form and shape as we are. He would have arms and hands and fingers. He would have legs and feet and toes. He would have a head. And in his head would be two eyes and a nose and a mouth. And he'd have ears. Same form and shape exactly. Only man was made out of the dust of the ground, and God is composed of spirit. But God is the kind of spirit that is a person, not essence. Now remember, I said spirit can be in the form of essence or in the form of a person. Now, God is the creator. How then? It says that the Word did the creating. How about it? Well, in Ephesians 3 and verse 9, it says, God created all things by Jesus Christ, or by the Word. Now, when Jesus was on earth, he was the Word. Now he's made human. And when he was human on earth, he said, I speak, but I have only spoken what God the Father told me to speak. And he said, I have obeyed my Father. I have kept my Father's commandments. And he believed in keeping the Father's commandments. Christians who believe in Christ and call themselves after his name don't believe in keeping God's commandments like Jesus did. So they're wrong. Judaism is wrong. Christianity is wrong. God is right. And God has revealed himself in his Word, the Holy Bible. And it's about time we open up our minds instead of just trusting people and begin to trust God. Now, how does God create? That's another thing that God has restored through this church. He creates in the system of duality. First one, then another. First, Adam was made in the form and image of God. He was a male. God wanted him to have children and reproduce. I've said time and again, the poor man couldn't do that. And so God performed an operation, took out one of his ribs, made a woman out of it. Women today want to rule over men. So we've had women at the head of governments. And don't be surprised if you get a woman president of the United States. Could be the very next one. Don't be surprised if the Democrats come up with a woman vice president candidate. And don't be surprised if they win the election. And don't be surprised if the next president is a Democrat and he dies in office and the woman then becomes president. And let me tell you, that can happen within 2 or 3 years from now. Just don't be surprised if that happens. I'm not saying it will happen at all. I'm just saying it could. And don't be surprised if it does. But God creates in a system of duality. Now, first there was one being, but he wasn't complete, and he couldn't reproduce. So God had to make another, a female. And he joined the male and the female together, and they joined together, became one family. Not one person, but two persons made one family. And God and the Word were two persons, but they were one God family. And God is a family, and God is not a person. God is a family. No religion on earth believes that. No religion, but God says it. And God reveals it. God is a family. And God is reproducing himself. Now, how is he going to reproduce himself? That's what I'm coming to. Adam was physical, he was physically incomplete. So God created a woman and joined together, and they become one human family. Joined with the Holy Spirit, man is incomplete of himself. God created man with a spirit in him. But that spirit in man is all alone by itself. And it needs another spirit to go with it, just like the male man needed a female woman to go with him. And a man needs a wife. And many young men, by the time they become 23, 24, 25 years old, or even more, begin to realize how much they need a wife. And a girl growing to that age begins to realize how much she needs a husband. Yes, a man needs a wife and a young woman needs a husband. And our spirit needs the Spirit of God in the same way. Now, God made man and offered him life through the tree of life in the Garden of Eden. Man didn't take it. If he had taken it, he would have received the Spirit of God to go with his spirit. Man was only half there spiritually. He was only half there mentally. The spirit is what gave him mind power with his brain. But he couldn't understand spiritual knowledge, only material knowledge. So he was only half there. He needed the Holy Spirit. Adam had to make a choice. Adam made the wrong choice, as you know. And there's a whole lot about Satan tempted Eve, and that comes in another in the book I'm writing. And that'll be in the Plain Truth in the, let's see, in the February or the March number. I'm writing it now. Now, the only human superiority over an animal then resides in the spirit in man and the form and shape. Man has two things that make him more important than an animal. He's in the form and shape of God, and he has a spirit that can be united with the Spirit of God, and he can become one with God, and no animal can. That is the only way a man is superior to an animal. So the spirit in man, united with the human brain, is the only thing that makes human life of real value. And you probably never thought of that before. You know, God has been progressively revealing new knowledge lately. Do you notice that almost every time I speak to you lately, I've had some new knowledge to reveal to you? God keeps giving, just pouring it in. And I want to continue receiving it as fast as He gives it. Now, the first stage in spiritual reproduction, God is reproducing Himself. Now, that's spiritual reproduction. God has created matter out of spirit. And then of the matter, He has said that He will take and make a human being, and He will turn that human being into a God being. Now, He turns spirit into matter, and He's going to turn that matter that is a human being back into a God being. By the way, let me just sidetrack here for a second. We had the most wonderful Bible study last night about heaven and the three heavens and all of that, which, of course, has been taught to the church for a long, long time, but it's never gone into so much detail as Mr. Neff went into last night. And he quoted many, many scriptures, all of which mean what they say, that the heavens will dissolve and will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the material things of the universe. Let me remind you of this. We also learn in physics and in chemistry, we learn about the law of the preservation of matter, and that, matter can change form, but it never ceases to exist. And to say that God is going to convert everything back to spirit again, the Bible nowhere says that. So don't jump to that conclusion. That the Bible did not say and does not say. The heavens declare the glory of God. Is God then going to destroy all of that which declares His glory? Oh, no. Not at all, brethren. So let's not just add something that the Bible didn't say. By adding something the Bible didn't say and saying He's going to convert all matter back to spirit. The Bible does not say that. Now, if you can show me where it does, then I'll begin to believe it. Now, the first stage in spiritual reproduction, because God is reproducing Himself, is in the mind for character development. So God had to have mind in man to develop character. He can't be reproduced as God until he has the character of God. And that character has to be built into us and started in this human life. And that means we have to receive the Spirit of God with our spirit to begin to develop that character. That's where conversion comes in. Now, an animal dies and reverts back to dirt or dust again. The human dies and his body reverts back to dust just the same as an animal. But the spirit returns to the God who gave it. You read that in Ecclesiastes in the Bible. But the human body returns to dust the same as an animal. Yet both human and animal have the same existence, the same breath. They have the same kind of blood running in their veins, and maybe it's not the same kind, but it's run, and the blood is the life, and it's the breath of life in both of them, and they live the same existence, they die the same death. But man is made to have a special relationship with God and to be joined to and with God until he becomes begotten of God and becomes finally born as a son of God, and then he will be a member of the God family and not a human family any longer. Then he won't be human any longer. He'll be God. And God is going to have billions of children someday that'll all be God. God children, not human children. Oh, brethren, nobody knows that but this church. In all this world, little as we are, God has entrusted us with that tremendous knowledge. So we're in the same form as God, and we have the Spirit of God, and that's what differentiates us from animals. And that's all. And contact with God comes only through the human spirit that is in us. That is, with God's spirit added to it. But man's creation was not complete in Adam, either physically, nor was it mentally and spiritually. Because the one spirit in him needed another spirit, just like the male needed a female. So there's the 1-2 punch again, the duality. Now, there was a spirit created in Adam. And the only reason that there was a spirit also in Cain and Abel and Seth, and then in their children, and that there is a spirit in you today, is because it was in Adam, and the only reason there is a spirit in us. Now, get this. This is something new again. You never thought of this before. Here's new light, new knowledge. Open your mind. It had to be transmitted from Adam. Did you hear what I said? The spirit in you, the spirit in Cain and Abel and Seth, was transmitted from their father, Adam. When you become a God being, the spirit in you would have been put into you from God the Father. It comes from the Father. And you can't get around that. Now I've wondered time and again, when does the Spirit enter a human being? Does it enter at the first breath? I have never said it does. Now some people, because I've said it could and that it seemed like perhaps it did, some are going to say, well, Mr. Armstrong said the Spirit enters the first breath. I didn't say that, brethren. I said it could. And I've often wondered. But now I see something more that has been revealed just during this trip. The Spirit had to be, somehow or other, conveyed through the human male sperm cell from Adam. Now, whether it was actual spirit and that spirit was present in the embryo and in the fetus prior to birth, God doesn't say, and I don't know. It may be something that just caused spirit to enter with the first breath, but if so, it was something that came from Adam and came from conception. Now, that means some other thing. If it came from conception, then abortion is a murder. And that's the thing that the Supreme Court of the United States has been considering. That's the thing the lawyers are considering. And what do they know about the things of God? Abortion is murder. Now, you can put that down as absolutely definite. The only reason there is a spirit was in Cain and Abel and Seth is because it was transmitted from Adam, and that spirit had to be transmitted from Adam right on through all humanity. Also to the daughters, and the women, because they have a spirit the same as men. Now, in Genesis 2 and verse 7, it says, God breathed. God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath. Now, there it just says breath, but that's the same Hebrew word that means spirit. Now, I've always taken it to mean breath, but also it could mean the spirit came with that same breath. Also, though, if it does, it is because there was something that came from the sperm cell of the male at conception. At the time that the human ovum, smaller than the dot after a period at the end of a sentence in your newspaper, small as a pinpoint, and the sperm cell was in that ovum, small as it was, somehow it transmitted either that which drew the spirit or that which was the spirit, and God doesn't reveal which. I don't know. But it had to come from Adam. Now, we've always wondered about some of those things. It could only be transmitted, if it's transmitted from Adam, the only way it could be transmitted was through the human sperm cell. Now, if the spirit enters at the first breath, if it does, then something was transmitted from the human sperm cell that caused the first breath to drop. Otherwise, the first breath of a cow would bring a spirit into it, and it doesn't. Why does a spirit enter man if it does enter at the first breath? Why does it enter a human and doesn't enter a cow or a dog or an elephant or any other kind of an animal? They draw a first breath, too, when they're born. It came somehow or other through the sperm cell of the father, and it all came from the human Adam. Now, take a parallel. Man himself becomes an ovum. God is reproducing himself. Each one of you is an ovum. You have a nucleus, and that's your brain, your mind, with a spirit in it. The human ovum, small as a pinpoint, has inside of it a nucleus. And the human sperm is only 1/50th as large as the ovum, and it's so tiny, you can just barely see it. And the sperm cell is so small, you can't see it with the naked eye. It takes a microscope to see it. Now, let me see, I've written this down. I don't know if I can carry it in my head. You take this parallel. Man is an ovum. The Holy Spirit is the sperm cell from the divine God. So when the Holy Spirit enters you, it transmits God life into you and God mind into you, and you can begin to understand the things of God which your mind couldn't understand before. Still, you are not God. You're still human. And the young fetus that is already impregnated is not a human. It's a fetus. It's not born yet, and we don't call it human until it's born. Still, you're not God, and you don't have God life until the time of the resurrection or the birth, when you are changed from mortal to immortal. Then you will become God. Now then, I want to explain a few things if I have time. I don't know whether I have the time or not. I don't have much time. I just explained part of it. I see time is about up. I'd like to begin with the first chapter, but there won't be time for that in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter. So let's begin here with about verse 9. Paul had been explaining that none of the wise men and the leaders of this world understand spiritual knowledge and the things that Paul had been explaining to them, the apostle. And in verse 9 he says, "But as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him." Now, God has prepared things for us, and people don't know what that is and what God has prepared. It hasn't entered their mind, the things that God has prepared. Why? They can't see it. Now, the next verse explains why. "But God has revealed them unto us." Who's the us? Us is Christians. That is, us are those who have received the Spirit of God with their spirit to uncode the Bible and open it up for your understanding. "God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit." That's the Spirit of God coming in with our spirit, opens your mind to understand spiritual knowledge, which you couldn't understand till you had the Holy Spirit. "For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knows even the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him?" You couldn't have human knowledge except for the spirit that is in you. A cow has a brain like you do, but a cow can't understand the things that you can. He can't understand things about chemistry and physics and astronomy. I didn't mean astrology. I don't think anybody understands that either, because that's just a wacky thing. But anyway, what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man that is in him? In the same way, the things of God knoweth no man. No man can know the things of God save by the Spirit of God in him. You have to receive, and how many people on the face of this earth have received the Spirit of God? Almost none. It's so few, it's infinitesimal. They just don't understand. They haven't been willing. God gives His Spirit to them that obey Him, and people have not been willing to obey God. They just think they do. "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God." That, and spirit sometimes means attitude too, an intention of mind. "That we might know," and it's come to the knowledge of the things that are freely given to us by God. And that is the knowledge of these things I've been giving you today that the world does not have and doesn't know. Now, the verse 13 and 14. "Which things also we speak." Which things also we... Well, I want verse 14. "But the natural man," just the ordinary man without the Spirit of God, "receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him," and he can't understand them. And that's the truth. They are just foolishness to the people in this world. So, brethren, I hope we've contributed a little more to the light, the knowledge that God is disseminating in a world of darkness. And I hope your minds have been open to receive it. And if you obey God, I think they have. And if you don't quite understand what I've said, maybe you haven't obeyed God as much as you should. And you might think that over too. Thank you.